We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up? Maybe an athlete or an architect, a movie star or a musician? Well, I invite you today to travel back with me to Aurora, Illinois, in the mid-1960s, where a teenager with a fascination for forecasting began to make his mark.
I'd hang out at the radio station on the weekends and cut the grass and wash the windows. They always wondered who this Tom Skilling was. They didn't realize it was a 14-year-old kid.
Though not without its struggles.
I was living at a poverty-level income. You know, oftentimes it was a decision of whether you paid the car insurance or you ate. I was scared to death. I never had much confidence in myself. I always thought they're going to fire me.
As technology and weather predictability morphed and advanced into what we know today, his name, career, and reliability would become legendary far beyond Chicagoland.
And lo and behold, the phone rings. It's WGN. I was surprised. He said, "We'd like to offer you a job."
I'm Jim Hanke, and this week, WBBM sits down with everyone's favorite meteorologist, Tom Skilling, whose retirement leaves behind a massive impact on Chicago broadcasting. Let's get looped in, Chicago. Next Wednesday, February 28th, will mark Tom Skilling's last day on the air at Channel 9, WGN-TV, as he retires from his post as Chicago's most known and trusted meteorologist after 45 years at the station. Recently, WBBM morning anchor Cisco Cotto was welcomed into Skilling's home to discuss what has driven his passion for weather from an early age and his decades of service to Chicagoland in sunshine, sleet, rain, and snow. This is a two-part interview, with the second episode airing next Wednesday, February 28th, to coincide with Tom's final day on the air. Enjoy.
I'm Cisco Cotto with WBBM News Radio, and I am having a lovely conversation with Tom freaking Skilling.
Cisco, it is a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for making yourself available. The first thing I want to ask is what's on everyone's mind. You're walking away from this career, legendary career. What was that process like? How do you get to the point where you say, all right, now's the time?
This is uncharted territory for me. I've worked since I was a teenager, and believe me, the process was an extended one. I started thinking about this. I think there were a couple things that motivated it, but one was just the deadlines, the length of the day, and the traffic, fighting the traffic going into work. I'll never be able to, divorce myself from my love of the weather. It's probably more intense now than it was when I was a little kid. And my parents could never quite figure out where that came from because nobody in the family was involved in meteorology. I had a psychic tell me one time that I'd been a ship captain in a previous life. I'm not sure whether I buy that, but it's as good an explanation of where this crazy interest in the weather came from.
So as a young child, I mean, you're at, I have to say, West Aurora High School. I have to say that you're from Aurora. I'm from Aurora. If I don't mention that, the people in Aurora get very upset. Yes. So I have to mention that.
Sure.
So you're at West Aurora High School, and already at that young age, you're in love with meteorology.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We only lived there 2 years. My dad was, who was a mechanical engineer by trade. He sold huge industrial valves to power plants and water treatment facilities. He was transferred out to New York City. He worked there, and we lived in New Jersey, and he did the crazy hour and a half commute back and forth. until I was in the seventh grade, 1965, and my dad was transferred out to Aurora by Henry Pratt Company.
Oh, yeah.
That terrible shooting was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the best move we ever made. We realized, and I don't think I had any doubt, that I'm more acclimated to the Midwestern style of living and the people of the Midwest. I found people here very friendly. I'll tell you something. I wrote a radio station out in Aurora, and I was thinking a radio station could do anything.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm told it was an 8-page letter with the audacity to suggest that I would do a better forecast for Aurora than they were getting from Chicago. And the program director there, a fellow by the name of Rusty Tim, followed up, came over and said, let's drive into the then Weather Bureau down on Woodlawn Avenue on the University of Chicago campus, because that's where the forecasts were done at the time for Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. They did all the forecasts, as well as the Great Lakes. So we drove in, we talked to a fellow by the name of Joe Folks, who is the meteorologist in charge of the Chicago office, and said, is there any chance we could get some weather maps? And he said, if you'll address envelopes, stamp them for us, and pay for the reproduction of the maps. They plot a lot of maps in the office there because they had an aviation desk, they had a public desk. And so they would hand plot a surface map, get others by facsimile from the National Meteorological Center in Washington, and they would distribute copies of these maps. So they're going to run off an extra copy, put it in an envelope, and send it to me. I found out years later that only two sets of maps were sent out of the Chicago forecast office. One went to Argonne National Laboratory, and the other one went to Tom Skilling. And I later worked with four awesome people when we were doing the Tribune weather page. We brought four 40-plus-year National Weather Service veterans into our team, and we produced the weather page. And one of them had packed up these envelopes, these weather maps years before, and he said they always wondered in the office who this Tom Skilling was that they were sending it to, and they didn't realize it was a 14-year-old kid who Joe Folks had agreed to send it to.
Who wanted a better suburban forecast.
Yeah, exactly. That I would even propose that, because I wasn't real sure of myself. I'm amazed I had put that down in a letter.
So what, did you end up working at the radio station? Because I'm thinking at age 14, I'm working at McDonald's in Aurora,
yeah.
And you're already a weather forecaster on the radio.
Well, I'll tell you, my suspicion is, Cisco, that your path has been like mine. I'm sure you started at a fairly young age in this business. And it's a wonderful way to learn. I mean, you know, to actually do it. I'd hang out at the radio station on the weekends and cut the grass and wash the windows, and they pop me on the FM. But always my the love of weather and the weather program that I did before I went to high school with these weather maps that were sent to me was my first passion. And I hadn't anticipated going into media meteorology. But that's how that came about. It was an inquiry about getting some current weather maps.
Well, all good things start in radio, Tom.
Yeah,
I just want you to know.
It's amazing. I think everybody in our line of work ought to start in radio because the skills that you develop in radio, and of course you guys at WBBM have carried this to a whole new level, as have my colleagues at WGN.
Sure.
It's amazing the skills you pick up through radio, and when you move into television, you're just adding video or pictures to the skills you learned in communication skills in your radio work.
Yeah, the ad-libbing skills are
yes,
huge.
Yes, exactly.
Especially you have weather events and you're getting all this information out.
Yes.
You need to be able to think and talk and sound coherent at the same time. It's a challenge.
Yes.
So you work at the radio station in Aurora. You do some forecasting there. That's high school.
Yeah.
Then you go to UW-Madison.
Yes.
And so you already know that you want to be a forecaster in some capacity.
Yes.
At UW-Madison, man, it had to be a whole different world compared to now. You don't have satellite images. I mean, you don't have that sort of ability to decide what's going to happen.
What was done up at the University of Wisconsin-Madison by the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences up there was to revolutionize the entire field of meteorology. UW-Madison is the birthplace of satellite meteorology. And do you realize when we put satellites up there, we were suddenly able to peer down on the 70% of the planet that was poorly observed because it's ocean.
Sure.
And if you're going to run computer models that tell you how the atmosphere is going to evolve and what your weather is going to do, you've got to know what's going on over the oceans. Because to make a forecast for Chicago, your models have got to have a grasp on what's going on around the whole planet. Because a buckle in the jet stream off Japan can immediately lead to upstream and downstream buckles in the jet stream that can affect where your weather is coming from on the other side of the planet over here in Chicago. So it's one great big interconnected system. They always say what goes on in Las Vegas stays at Las Vegas, or but that's not true in the atmosphere. What goes on in the Arctic or out in the equatorial Pacific or on the other side of the planet has a real impact, because this is one vast interconnected system. And if you're going to understand how it's working in one spot, you've got to understand the big picture.
So let's talk about the TV career, because you UW-Madison, you graduate, you work for a few years in Milwaukee, right? Is that,
yes.
Or was there a gig before that?
No, there was. I left Madison prior to graduation.
Did you ever graduate?
I didn't graduate formally, but I have subsequently received four honorary doctorates.
So you never actually graduated from Madison?
No,
I didn't know that.
No. I tell you what happened.
Now my kids are going to say, if Tom Skilling doesn't have to graduate from college, why do I have to graduate from college,
I'll
Dad?
I'll tell you something. It was interesting. When I was coming along, you weren't trained for a media weather career. You were trained to either be a meteorologist or a media person. And I found that I had a job offer from Jacksonville, Florida. It was the home base of the Navy Hurricane Hunters. And also, it was a tropical weather location. I had no experience with tropical weather. I had always wanted to go down there and just see how the weather operated there and possibly get on a hurricane recon flight, which I was able to do. I also learned how to shoot film down there. We were going to ENG, the mini cams. We had radar at that station, which was interesting. It was a little aircraft, ABQ-10 radar. And I thought, boy, would that be fun to have my own on-site radar. That was pretty novel stuff when I was in that era, back in the 1970s, early 1970s. So I talked to one of my advisors, and I said, look, I've had this job offer. It came out of the blue, and there are some things I'd like to do down there. And he said, well, give it a whirl. And I did. And, I wouldn't go back and do it any other way. I learned things I never would have learned staying in just the classroom. And it's, I always tell everybody I've got a PhD in practical experience.
Which is huge. The textbooks can only teach you so much. They can teach you a lot, but they can only teach you so much.
When we come back, Tom gets the call to join Channel 9. After a bit of a puppet kerfuffle. Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So you decide, hey, I have something here. I think I can do both. Not everyone can. I think I can do the media side and the meteorology side. You have a stint in Milwaukee.
I was making $40 a month at that time because I put in my own weather map facsimile machine and teletype. The station wouldn't put that in. So I paid for that myself. And so I was living at a poverty level income. You know, oftentimes it was a decision of whether you paid the car insurance or you ate. And then when Milwaukee called, I thought, oh, a chance to get back into my beloved Midwest where there are seasons. There are in North Florida, but not like up here. I'd sit down there and I'd watch these 992 millibar lows, winter storms going across the Midwest. And I'd think to myself, what am I doing down here? You know,
but you wanted real weather. You actually wanted, so Milwaukee Midwest meant, hey, I can actually cover weather events.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just fascinating. And you know, tools were coming online. We were just starting to get computer models. You know, tools like Doppler radar were being developed in the laboratories. Satellite imagery was suddenly available to us. When I started, you didn't have real-time satellite imagery. That was in the research labs of the land, not out in the operational weather offices where we produced weather forecasts. So this was amazing to watch this come online.
So you spent a few years in Milwaukee, and then August of 1978, if I have that right.
Yes. By the way, I worked with a puppet up there, too.
Worked with a puppet?
A puppet in Milwaukee. Not my idea. When I was going to school in Madison, the kids who came from Milwaukee said, you know what you need when I was doing part-time weather on the weekends? You need a puppet. I said, no, I don't need a puppet. And I was always amazed. Well, this station called me, and they said, it was a great station. And they said, look, we've got a puppet. And I said, I know. I've heard about that. I said, the puppet's going back to the kids' show from which it had come in the gimmicky 1960s. But we want a more scientific approach. Would you come and at least work with the puppet for a couple of months until we transition the puppet back to the kids' show? And I thought, well, you know, I was desperate enough to get back to the Midwest that I said, yeah. And I knew they were a solid television station. They told me at the time we're going to put in an advanced radar system and so forth. And they did. But they announced to the public that the puppet was going back to the kids show, and the mail started coming in. There were mailbags stacked in the news director's office from the floor to the ceiling. A story had run, I think, on page 24, section 4 of the Milwaukee Journal, that the puppet Albert the Alley Cat was going back to the kids' show. And the mail started coming in. I remember one of the letters said, if you take that puppet off the weather show, that's like killing my family pet, and I'm not watching you
again.
Wow. So
did the puppet stay?
The puppet ended up staying. It prolonged his life. And the American Meteorological Society came to me and said, you know, your seal. I had explained to them the circumstance under which I'd gone to work there, that the puppet was going back to the kids' show and all, but... my seal was challenged, but it turned out the president of the American Meteorological Society was the chancellor of the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and knew all about what was going on, what must have seemed crazy to anybody else. And it did to me, too, for a long time until I worked. You know, the puppet was innocent. What he did was people knitted him little outfits promoting church bazaars and community events. And he would briefly appear at the day. It was done by a guy by the name of Jack Dublon. He was the puppeteer. And he would run Albert, and they always built a new setup there where he could sit down and put the puppet up on the end of his hand. And we would talk, and he would promote these community events. That was the puppet's function.
So the puppet wasn't the forecaster.
No.
It was, you know, and now for the 7-day forecast, here's the puppet. What was the puppet's name?
Albert the Alley Cat.
Albert the
now,
Alley Cat.
Now, understand, you had Mr. Science here is talking dew points and jet streams and scaring the devil out of these news consultants who came in and said, nobody knows what jet streams and dew parts are, and you're too complex for people and all the rest. So I was getting it from the consultants that I was too scientific and too jargon inclined. And I always use jargon, but I explained what it meant. And then on the other hand, the public was mad because they were going to take the puppet off the weather show. So it must have been quite interesting to watch this, to have this young forecaster who is really into the science next to a puppet on the show, you know. Let me tell you, may that never, ever, ever happen in the media world again. We do not need puppets to do the weather.
So you come to Channel 9, and is that one of the stipulations? Is it just as long as, because they have a history of puppets there at Channel 9.
No,
keep the puppets over there.
Absolutely. No, they were aware of that. And it was funny because I kind of got into it with the management up in Milwaukee. When I'd go in with a tornado warning, they were slow in getting that on the air. And I was concerned about that. And the word got to upper level management that I was a troublemaker because I was mad. I envisioned a tornado going through the community, and anybody watching television stations flicking between them would realize we hadn't gotten the warning on. This was my fear. So they called me in and said, you're agitating and making trouble. And I told my father about that. And he said, hang up and I'm going to dictate to you your resignation letter. And my father was not a hothead, but he traveled. He was a salesperson and he would hear about my weather shows and people liked our weather shows up there. We were the number one station in Milwaukee. And I resigned, and lo and behold, the phone rings. It's WGN, Jack Jacobson, the operations director. And I was surprised. He said, look, I've got a proposition for you. Our general manager has a place in Lake Geneva and watches Milwaukee television, and he's seen you. How would you like to come down here to WGN and do some weekend shows? And if they work out, there's a potential for a job down the line. And if they don't, at least you can see he did a couple of shows in the Chicago market. Well, I didn't think I was ready. I was pretty young. And I talked regularly with John Coleman and Harry Bowman. I called John. I said, look, I've got an offer, but John, I'm going to pass on it because I don't think I'm ready. He said, nonsense. He said, I know for a fact they've been looking for a year. And in fact, it turned out that John had been the one who had said, look at this kid up in Milwaukee doing the weather. He'd put my name in front of them, and that had been one of the reasons they had looked at me. So on John's advice, I said, okay, I'll come down and do it. I was scared to death. Came down and did the weekend shows, and they called me that Monday and said, look, we'd like to offer you a job. And that's how my career started at WGN.
When you got on the air at WGN, being a local guy, is there this sense of the weight of that, laser feeling like I finally made it, here in my hometown, sort of a thing?
You know, I was scared to death. I never had much confidence in myself. I always thought they're going to fire me for one reason or another. And I didn't. I think the view then was do your work and hope like heck that this all works, fearful that it might not. And what would happen after that, So,
and even if friends and family get to watch, you don't want them to watch you, your demise there.
Exactly.
On TV.
And it was interesting, WGN, the station I worked for up in Madison operated the cable operation up in Madison, and they would import the WGN signal, and we had it. WGN would be up in a conference room. I never in my wildest dreams ever dreamed I'd be working at WGN, but it came to pass. And I remember, you'd get rumors that they weren't happy with what you were doing and all that. There'd be newspaper critics and all that suggested in suburban newspapers, I was told, that they're not happy with him. They'll probably replace him and all. And I remember talking to Bob Collins, who was he shared an office right in the little cubicle area where the weather office was at the time. He said, kid, he said, if you last 5 years in the Chicago market, chances are you might have a career and might last here. Well, here it is, 45 years later, and lo and behold,
You're not still afraid they're going to let you go, are you?
I'm not anymore. No.
Well, you told them you're retiring. That sort of takes care of that.
I did. It does. I know. But I don't think I ever took for granted that the job was solid. And in a way, that's good. It keeps you on your toes. It's a heck of a way to live, but
you never take it for granted then.
No.
And that longevity that you mentioned, that ends up being huge, right? Because you have viewers who, they know the people, they trust the people,
yes.
They feel like they're part of the family.
Yes.
And it's the same in radio, but in TV, you're actually seeing the people. And that sort of longevity, that sort of relationship building is just key to being successful.
It really is. It really is. I've often thought some of the management approach is what might be called in some respects benign neglect. And I don't mean that in a negative way. The philosophy at WGN is you hire people who are competent in their area of expertise and what they're doing on the air, and you let them do their thing. So I had, I think, freedoms that I might not have had in other places. And, you know, my whole career, I've dealt with news consultants, talent coaches, and all the rest. And, who knows how you make it through that quagmire? I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog proposition. And I'm kind of amused coming up on my 72nd birthday to look back at it all now and realize, for gosh sakes, I made it all the way through this dog-eat-dog routine and survived somehow.
Yeah, it's decades of white-knuckling it.
Yeah, exactly.
To get there.
And I think you better white-knuckle it. It's been my experience, the people that aren't white-knuckling it maybe don't survive as long as some of the ones who do, because I think those of us who take what we do very seriously are more inclined to be conscientious about our work and trying to do the best we possibly can.
Remember, the second half of Cisco Cotto's interview with Tom Skilling will air next Wednesday, February 28th, to coincide with Tom's last day on Channel 9. This episode was produced, written, and hosted by me, Jim Hankey, with recording by Cisco Cotto. WBBM's news director is Craig Schwalb, and Myron Kaplan is our managing producer of national news podcasts. You can follow us on TikTok at WBBM News Radio 105.9, as well as on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at WBBM News Radio for visuals related to all of our episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll keep you looped in again right here next week. See you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.